have the power.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as I ask you every week, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in to 860 on the AM dial if they live in Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And if they are able to listen on the internet, you can go right to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link, which is right at the top on the left-hand side. Today, joining us is Larkin Connolly here in studio, Rich Logis, who is the principal of RJL Technology, and Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. And I must tell you that during the second half of our broadcast today, we're going to be having a special guest. It is Congressman John Runyon, and I'll be updating you more as the show goes on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today is a very special day for one of the members of the panel of American Workers Radio. It's our very own Mark Andel, who, by the way, is the main speaker for the National Hardware Show, which is taking place in Las Vegas, where more than 27,000 professionals are gathered to promote what they have to sell in America's hardware stores. And by the way, Mark, I also got word that today General Welding and Fabricating and also Made in America Store are being honored by the annual small business luncheon there in Western New York. So today is a day you're going to have to be in two places. I know that's impossible, but I want you to let us know what's happening there at the hardware show.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock here in Las Vegas, and I'm just getting ready to go into the show. The show is outstanding. Again, it's huge. If anybody's been to the convention center here, just unbelievable how big it is. It's nice, as we said before, to see two Made in America sections, Mike, which honor our Made in America products and promote them. So two sections of the convention center were dedicated areas to just those products made in America. We set up a booth, and we're promoting our new wholesale madeinamericastore.com website. So to make it easy on any business in the country or world that wants to buy Made in America products, you can go to our wholesale website. And then we've got our two featured products, the All-American Little Grill and this new beverage buddy with Rich, you'd like a lot. I even made it for the stand. You can stick it in the stand and put your drink in it. You know, the show is real important. Today we're going to do a little launch of USA Day. So out of the 3 days, the show ran yesterday, Tuesday, Wednesday, today, and then tomorrow. And again, all the buyers, over 20,000 from around the world, come here to look for the hottest products, most unique products, and now specifically Made in America products, because what we're all about, Mike, and what we do, our team on your radio show, and, you know, we promote Made in America products. And, you know, this is just really showing how far the movement came, having two sections with only Made in America booths, having a USA Day today, which is outstanding, because today they're honoring our country and our products, and I was honored to be a speaker to launch this off at 8:45 today. So, and then I'm also going to meet John Rathenberger, who I haven't yet, who's also going to be a speaker. So I'm going to try to get him on the show, too. I was just talking with Henry. So hopefully he's the guy I think he is, and, you know, he inspired us years ago. And really loved our country and loved the products made here. So that's really an honor also.
Yeah, he's done some very good reporting on the radio and on TV over time. We would love to have him here. In fact, invite him to Philadelphia as well as invite him to Buffalo. Happy to have him.
So I've been...
There you go.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to step on your mic.
No, go ahead, Larkin.
I've been to the hardware show, National Hardware Show in Las Vegas, twice. It is quite the show. You are correct. It is the largest show of its kind in the world. And you are to be congratulated. But boy, I got to step aside. I read this morning and almost got a tear in my eye about your nomination as the Small Business of the Year for Western New York for the SBA. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this right now. So, you know, plug your ears. This award is given in by category to about five or six businesses in each region of the country for the SBA. What you don't know and what the article did not say is you are now eligible to become the to win the national award and be given your award by President Obama in the White House. And if you have won this SBA Western New York a prize as the Small Business of the Year, this is phenomenal. This is an applause well deserved. But it's so much louder than we've made it here today, and I congratulate you and everybody that works with you.
Very good. Well,
thank you, Larkin. You know, and it's unfortunate. It's, of course, 2 days, like you said, Mike. I can't be in two places at once. So I've got my sister Cheryl, who's been with me 25 years, receiving the award there. And unfortunately, it was this large of a show here, and the importance of this show. So, like you said, it was an honor. The SBA did help me along in the early days. I can't say enough for them, because without them, I wouldn't exist, because they went in, they took the risk off the bank, and the SBA is outstanding.
Well, you don't have to approve this on my part, but I'm going to disappear behind the curtain and nudge on a couple coattails between now and when the national prizes are given.
Very good. You know, Mark, I wanted to ask you, have you... As you talk to the people at the show, has anyone been offering any suggestions as to what they feel would help to re-energize some of the industries in America to get them bigger and better and up on the road again?
You know, I did get a chance. I had a really interesting buyer yesterday from Dubai, and he deals with the Middle East. And what was really neat, Mike, they were they want Made in America products in Dubai and a lot of the Asian countries. And he said the demand, because they respect our product, it gives them a different stature if you sell Made in America or buy Made in America. So it was really neat. But, you know, they all need, you know, the common things we talk about, less regulation. You know, of course, the wage is always a part of the labor. But I do see and I do hear that products. I had an interesting conversation yesterday where a company actually came back here, and his friend had went overseas to get more competitive, but when the other company, his competition, came back here, so it kind of backfired on the guy. You know, the movement is on. It's not flat. It's working every day. But people, they definitely, you know, consumers are driving it. Consumers are demanding. That's why we always talk about people have so much power. And no matter what we talk about there at the show, they admit that the consumers want it. And we keep that in front of them. The change is on. It's just, you know, timely practice.
Well, you know, Mark, if the people can start getting after their elected officials, I really feel that the tax breaks could do a lot to help these people. I've been seeing the ads about New York. Come to New York and you're able to get 10 years of tax abatement for opening up a business, expanding a business. That's exactly what we have to do across the USA. We have got to make that a priority, because a business wants to know that they're not going to be taxed to death for starting a new business and maybe making a positive step forward.
And as much as we like...
perfect.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Larkin.
No, go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead, Larkin. You know, it's just a perfect time in the country to get incentives. I think you're hitting it right on the head, Mike. You know, they want to come back. They have to come back. And it's working. But now the government, there could be incentives to help enhance that.
Many incentives. In fact, one of the big things I would like to hear from in the next couple of months is to talk to people. Right now, everybody's talking about the primary coming up in Pennsylvania and New Jersey and all. I'd like to hear what they would have to bring to the table prior to the general election. What are they going to propose as some tax cuts? These senators and congressional leaders are all running for re-election, or they're the first new people trying to get elected. I'd like to see what they have to say. Rich, what do you have to add to that?
Mark, good morning, guys. Good morning to our listeners. Mark, very happy for you on with your award. I want to see some Elvis moves, though, before you get back to New York.
I owe you a few calls, Rich, so this is nice to talk to you.
We need some Ocean's 11 and some Elvis. And, you know, Michael, I'm gonna agree with you about continuing to press elected officials, but I'm going to say something I've said recently. And Mark, this is where I think your influence is vast, and perhaps maybe we don't realize how vast it can be. We can plead other people. And Mark, you talk to consumers, because the consumers in business are the ones who run the bottom line. And if consumer confidence is low, that's not an incentive for businesses to come back here. It just simply isn't when it's low. So this is why, Larkin, all the time you talk about creating jobs. Jobs aren't created. The climate and environment is created. And part of that is consumer confidence. And, Mark, you've got really an immense amount of sway, I believe, with that, with all the notoriety and recognition that you're getting.
And the political shirts that keep on talking about jobs have no idea what they're talking about.
None at all.
It's not a job issue. It is not a job issue. It's a business environment, a business climate. Make it to the advantage of the small and medium-sized businesses, and guess what? They'll go out and hire. The confidence in business will raise, and the 89 or 94% of people who are working will start spending money, and that's the problem right now. Nobody's spending money.
Right. And you know what else I would like to add to that is right now, people are just totally spent out with all of their expenses. And we have to take all the excuses away, cutting the taxes and allowing businesses to put that money into expanding jobs, upgrading their facilities or whatever, to bring things back here to America is the only way to do it. Yet our tax and spend policy is the number one thing on their mind. No one talks about how are we going to attract jobs to America. This year is the 20th anniversary of NAFTA. That was passed. We marked that on January the 1st, 2014. 20 years after NAFTA was started, we still have no, you know, positive thing to say about it. And I said many times in the past, and as I said 20 years ago, you do not get jobs for Americans by taking jobs overseas. It kills the whole idea. You have to make sure your people are safe and secure before you move elsewhere.
Well, I also, Michael, would say, and Mark, to your point about, you know, the people you're talking with, it is good news when we see that some jobs, some manufacturing, some production's coming back here, but I implore people to not look at it as you know, the twinkle twinkle fairy dust. That doesn't mean that we're out of the woods yet. We're just getting the motor running again. The world itself is becoming smaller and more competitive. Yeah, it's good news we're getting it back, but are we playing to win or playing not to lose?
Yes.
You know, and guys, I'm going to have to get rolling here, but I really thank your kind words and for, you know, letting me be on the show. I got to run. It's about 8:17 here in Vegas, and they want me down here in 5 minutes.
Mark, congratulations, best wishes, and we want to hear all about your remarks and ask people what they feel is needed to help them expand their operations wherever they're from in the USA.
Will do. Good luck with the rest of the show, with the congressman also.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm going to pause now and just acknowledge a few of today's special broadcast sponsors. And we'll do them all at once today, and we will do many more of their ads during the next 6 days. The first portion of today's broadcast, it's a special broadcast because we will have a guest during the second half of today's program, Congressman John Runyon, and he is from the 3rd Congressional District of New Jersey, and we'll be very happy to welcome him to the broadcast. I ask that you call around and make sure all of your family and friends know that he'll be our guest. I think you'll be very pleased with some of the things that we'll be discussing during his time here on the show. The first portion today is being presented by Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, and also by Serena's Auto Body Shop, and they have two locations in Philadelphia to serve you. And the Philadelphia net cost market is located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. That's at Byberry Road and Busselton Avenue. And also by the PRCUA, the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America. They are the oldest national fraternal life insurance organization with 130 years plus experience serving people across the USA. For more information, you can give them a call at 1-800-772-8633. 3732, and also by Michael Steinman, attorney at law, who has two offices in Philadelphia to serve you, and by Phil's Hairstyling, located at 4401 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section, and by Dr. Eva Machak, and she has two dental offices in Philadelphia. For more information, you can give her a call at 215-739-2787. And also by Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, and he is located on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. You can give him a call at 215-575-7624. And also by Polka Deli at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia, and the Polish American Travel Service. They're also in Port Richmond at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. And when you're out shopping, look for Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928. You will find all Giorgio products available at supermarkets across the USA. And Pat's Auto Tags has three locations to serve you, one at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue, another at 5501 Harbison Avenue, and also at 400 East Allegheny Avenue, all in Philadelphia. For more information, call Pat's Auto Tags at 215-427-1832. Also, Washington Savings Bank has five locations in Philadelphia to serve you, and their president, Martin Bednarek, invites all of you to visit one of the Washington Savings offices near you. For more information, give their main office a call at 215-698-9400. And Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, thanks everyone for supporting National Small Business Weekend and American Workers Radio. And she reminds you that she represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. For more information, call Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio at 215-423-4824. And State Farm Insurance and Karen Janad of State Farm Insurance, we invite you to call her for auto, home, and life insurance plans. For more information, give Karen Janad a call at the State Farm office at 215-862-5490. And Dr. Wojciech Zinn and Everest Dentals, located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, give them a call at 215-671-0188. And also by the Polish National Alliance, and they are America's largest national fraternal life insurance organization, and they have representatives in all 50 states. For more information, call the PNA at 1-800-621-3723. And before I get back to our guests, Larkin Connolly and Rich Logis, I just want to say I want to thank everyone for letting me know in my travels that they do tune into the program and do listen on the internet, on the radio. They listen to rebroadcasts. It's very important that we spread the word. So make sure you spread the word about what we have to discuss here on the broadcast, and you can spread the word about other issues by going to our site, American Workers Radio, or American Workers Need You. And there are many links on there that would be of interest to people who are in the groove now to get involved supporting American workers. Larkin, what else is new today?
Well, I'm again going to do a shameless promotion for a SCORE event that will be held 1 week from today at the West Region campus of the Community College of Philadelphia. At that event from 9 to 4 in the afternoon, we will be discussing access to capital, one of the most important topics to creating and sustaining a small business network in any city anywhere. We will be talking about doing business with the government and also how to certify your company as a minority firm, thereby making you eligible for 23% of the money that the government spends annually. It's a great day spent, well spent, to talk about what the government is doing for small businesses. Again, it will be on at the Western Regional Campus of CCP from 9 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon.
Very good. That's what I like to hear.
And you can go on scorephilla.org onto our site and register. It always helps to register, although we turn away nobody.
And also, Larkin, let us know a little bit about the thing happening at Holy Family today.
That, I believe, is a job fair. I think you've asked me a question I really don't have the answer, answer to.
I know I was invited to it because I have another guest today. I couldn't get over there.
Right. But it's at Holy Family in their gymnasium. And it's a small business expo, kind of get to know everybody that's
We were there last year.
You and I were there together last year.
Yes, so it was a very nice event, and I want to compliment Al Taubenberger and the Northeast Chamber of Commerce.
They do a great job.
For doing all that they do. Now, Rich, what is happening in your neck of the woods, and what do you hear happening on a national level regarding jobs?
Well, Sunny Florida is doing well, guys. Waiting for you to come down, all of yous. And, you know, Michael, I want to mention for our listeners, in anticipation of having Congressman Runyon on, that I'm working on a whole host of unique guests for the show. And I can't give any names right now. I can only, as the old saying goes, that I learned in a sales institute where the guy had an alfalfa hair sticking up. You only sell the sizzle, not the steak. But I'm working on a whole variety of guests for our show. And just in anticipation, again, of having the congressman on, I will tell you, Michael, that even being down here, we've got a lot of online listeners. So here's my little plug for the show and for the work that everyone's doing. I often am told that I've managed to be able to be offensive without offending. I'm not sure how I pulled it off, but I'm going to keep it going. So, and that's a testament to all the guys and everyone we have on, with Mark included.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm really pleased to see that Mark has kept his eye on the ball and kept his nose to the grindstone. He's really did very good by us and America by his tenacity. I mean, he's showing us that by customer making the demands, it's really increasing interest in the United States manufacturing end of things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a very brief break, and then we are going to come right back to our special guest. But I want to just tell you that we had some very, very special things happening this last week. National Small Business Weekend was heavily advertised in the several of the newspapers. People really went out of their way, and I see now that more and more businesses are starting to promote the national small business idea. And with that in mind, I'm going to ask Henry, our engineer, to welcome our guests. And as we continue our broadcast on this Wednesday, May the 7th, we have a very special guest with us today. It is Congressman John Runyon. He is the congressman representing the 3rd Congressional District of New Jersey, a great football player, and I want to welcome you to our broadcast.
Well, thanks for having me.
Very good. Rich Logis, who is a member of our panel, and also Larkin Connolly are joining us today, and I'm going to turn this part of the program over to Rich, and Rich, take it from here.
Thanks, Michael. Congress, appreciate your time. Let's get right to it. I would say you're doing something very unorthodox amongst elected officials, which is self-imposed term limits. And I want to read a quick passage for our listeners from a Politico magazine article you wrote back in January. And the passage here is, "My frustrations with the ways of Washington have been well documented. The things that have bothered me most, the petty ambitions and the misplaced priorities, have frustrated many of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. Believe it or not, there are members of Congress who actually want to govern and get stuff done. Unfortunately, there are others whose agendas and strategies serve to advance their own interests and expand their donor base. To use another football analogy, there's no substitute for teamwork. And in Washington, I saw too little of it." Is that a good, accurate summation
of at least part of the reason, Congressman, why you are opting to not run for re-election?
That's very true, because when you look at the analogy of teamwork, I mean, around here, take the House, for example. It takes 218 yes votes to pass anything in the House. So if you don't have 218 people, and it doesn't matter the party, if you don't have 218 people, if you want to use the phrase in the middle agreeing on something, nothing's going to happen. So the frustrating aspect, people jumping behind political barriers a lot of time that outside groups put up, that their only purpose in life is to raise money and create controversy and not govern. So you have members of Congress that are elected to govern siding with those people and deciding not to do their job.
Well, that's exactly the type of gridlock that's really been hurting America. And I just don't know what would you suggest would be a way to move above that situation.
Well, personally, I would tell each and every person that is going out to vote in the next election cycle to really educate themselves on what their member of Congress has accomplished. Do they agree with what their member of Congress is doing? You know, if it is a person that, you know, is part of the gridlock, or they're trying to actually move the ball forward. You know, are they one of those people? Because I tell everybody all the time, we do have term limits. It's called an election. And that is the thing I think a lot of people forget when you hear the pollsters, you know, talk about Congress's approval rating being down in the single digits. The next question in the poll is never broadcast, and that is, do you approve of the job your member of Congress is doing? And it's usually in the low 50 percentile. So that's all it takes to get reelected. So I'd encourage people to really educate themselves on what is going on with their own member, because that is kind of the finger point. It's not my guy, it's the other guy's guy. And we really, as a country, have to take a look at that.
Very true. And Congressman, I want to say most of our broadcast here on American Workers Radio is dedicated to jobs. Do you see a lot of effort in Washington to promote jobs?
The efforts are there. I think the biggest part is, you know, the willingness of people to be part of that 218. You know, that kind of, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it becomes a political thing. And here's the issue. If you solve the problem and get people back to work and create jobs, the political stuff doesn't matter, because people are with you because you were part of the group that solved the problem. And it's unfortunate, and it's on both sides of the aisle, that people are just more worried about getting reelected and seeing how much money they can raise. Yeah, you can do it that way, or you can do it the way of, you know, I look at it as doing your job. I use the football analogy. Win the game, don't talk about it in the paper. That's really the
well
difference
said.
At the end of the day.
Congressman, when you talk about term limits, much of the criticism up front is the fact that you really only serve for 2 years, so that you're elected and you immediately go into reelection mode because you're really running 2 years later.
Yeah, that starts the day you get elected. And, you know, that's, well, we've taken our stab at a couple constitutional amendments in this Congress, and you see how well that has went. So, I mean, to do anything like that would be a constitutional amendment and demand 2/3 majority and 3/5 of the states to ratify it. So that would be a heck of an uphill climb, even if you'd have to have a lot of people change here in Washington just to even get that 2/3 majority here. So, you know, at the end of the day, when you step back, there is something to be said for, you know, the institutional knowledge of, you know, the good people that we have around that have been here for a while and have all that knowledge. But there are other ones. So that's why I always fall back and, you know, put it back on the education of the voters. And is your member accomplishing what really needs to get done to move this stuff forward?
To that end, about the people that are around are knowledgeable. One man or woman gets elected, serves 2 or 3 terms. The next person comes in. Isn't he or she really working with the same staff?
There's a lot of turnover in staff, and there's a lot of people that stay on the Hill, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that leave and come in. So I know what you're trying to say. There's not the elected officials are the ones that can come and go if you propose term limits, but the Hill staff can technically be here as long as they want to be, and they are the ones advising the elected members. I do see that being there, but that's also, that can be tied to a member of, you know, their decisions of who they employ in their offices.
And I think the election that you said, I think it's right on point. But as a poll sitter myself,
I sit there in an off-presidential year and see everybody applauding because 32% of the voting public registered and voted in a particular election. And we jump up and down and scream and yell during a presidential election because we get 54% of the people voting. And how do you change that?
I don't know. You know what? I think if I had that answer, I would have wrote the book and sold it and been won a couple of awards for it and not be sitting here talking to you guys. So I don't truly know the answer to that one.
Yeah, it's a killer. In fact, Larkin works the polls in South Philadelphia, so he knows. It's really disappointing. Sometimes when I show up at the polls, I try to go later in the morning to make sure the crowds get in. And when I go in, they say, Michael, you're number 31 at 10 o'clock in the morning. And boy, then I have a disappointing look on my face. And they said, yeah, this is the primary season. So I don't know, how do we motivate our people? See, the people are disappointed in America after all the effects of these treaties that took jobs overseas, the NAFTA, and we're marking the 20th anniversary of NAFTA this year. We really didn't benefit that much, and yet there was no consideration of the jobs that would be lost through NAFTA, just the fact that other countries would be able to join in and be part of our North American treaty group. It didn't take into consideration that we need jobs first as Americans, and then we bring other people into the fold.
Yeah, and I think, well, also when you look at what this country's going through, how we've kind of, unfortunately, I think, you know, I grew up in the state of Michigan, and you're shifting away from the manufacturing aspect of it. We're standing right here. You look at my district in South Jersey as we're sitting here, major defense manufacturing going on with Lockheed Martin, and, you know, even down there in Delaware County, south of Philly, you have Boeing down there and all that kind of stuff. As we continue to slash our military in an environment that's not getting any safer, I tell people all the time, the sole source of defense manufacturing still happens in this country because most of the time you have to have a security clearance to do it. And once we close these, shut these jobs down and stop producing this equipment and or repairing or retrofitting this equipment, where are those jobs going to go? And at that point, if they do disappear and now all of a sudden they start popping up overseas, isn't that another security threat on top of what we already have? And it just makes you scratch your head at what people around here
are thinking. You're absolutely right. We are taking our own security and placing it in the hands of other countries. When I hear that all these things are being made overseas, Mark Andel, who's at a particular show in Las Vegas this week, he tells me that so much of what he has in his store is American-made, but they're smaller items, but there's not one electronic appliance in his entire store. How did we get to that point when America invented all those technologies?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a matter of being competitive on a global scale. And, you know, it's unfortunately, I think a lot of times there's political rhetoric that drives a lot of that out of here. And that's the unfortunate situation we got ourselves into. But, you know, with all of that, I mean, you said it yourself, a lot of these innovations and technologies actually happen here. Now, we have to figure out how we keep that stuff here, keep that intellectual property here, keep people from stealing our intellectual property, and be able to manufacture that stuff and sell it globally. Can't sit here and dwell on the past. We got to figure out how to make it work down the road.
Congressman, in your time in the Congress, is there a person in the United States Congress that you regard as the national leader for jobs in America?
It depends on what sector you want to talk about. I mean, you know, the leadership in the House, there are numerous jobs bills we've had out there. And frankly, I believe 99% of them are still sitting on Harry Reid's desk. He won't even bother to bring them up just out of political bias. And that's unfortunate because at the end of the day, it's hurting Americans. It's hurting us as a country against a global competition. And, you know, now is the time for it. And it's unfortunate that they get in these type of battles because it is, there are members of Congress every day that have great ideas, bring them to leadership. Eventually they get put into a package with other great jobs bills. It happens all the time. You just never hear about it because much like everything else I think we do in the House, it goes to die in the Senate.
So let me switch directions on you here a little bit. I understand that you have an issue close, near and dear to your heart that has to do with the VEPs and a bill you're trying to sponsor. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Which bill would that be? I have a long list of them. The one I sponsor with Rush Holt every year?
Yes.
And obviously, suicide in our veterans population is a big problem, not only in, you know, there. You know, dealing with the PTSD aspect of it, and unfortunately, suicide is one of the after effects of PTSD. And, you know, so now we're treating the side effect of not treating them in the first place, and that's the unfortunate part. But every year, Congressman Holden and I have gotten a significant amount of money, $40 million, moved over to, believe it or not, advertise and make aware of these programs. They're out there, and our veterans don't know they're out there, and the ability to spread that word and have people available when they, you know, when they're in that desperate moment in their lives to be able to pick up the phone and call somebody and get the help they need is huge. And, you know, it's been a no-brainer for the both of us my 4 years here.
Well, it's certainly been something that I would have liked to have seen addressed from the very beginning, because there's nothing more discouraging than somebody being called up, serving their country, and then coming back to a situation where they're, you know, on a second-class citizen.
No, and I totally agree with you, but like I said, I was, you know, that is frankly a side effect of letting people slip through the cracks and having post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, that is something we have to tackle. I think we're just scratching the surface of that, but we do have to deal with, you know, the consequences of not dealing with that up front.
Congressman, I'll tell you that when in your spare time, and when you have a chance to listen to some of our past broadcasts, touched on numerous topics that we very frequently talk about, namely America's ability to compete in a global economy. I believe the world is getting smaller and more competitive. You also touched on voter responsibility. And I like to say all the time that we in the United States, I think, sometimes collectively forget how good we actually have it. We're the ones that ultimately have the power to change. And I'll tell you, Congressman, in some of my conversations and letting some of my colleagues, friends, let them know about this interview, I'll tell you that the perception amongst those who know you, and I'll tell you that just about every one of them knew you, especially the Giants fans, the perception is that John Runyon is basically getting the heck out of Dodge because of just the general gridlock that goes on in Washington. And while I think it's true to say that we do get things done, I mean the Congress, it's not that we see a Congress that never gets it right, but I think there is a perception that some of that infighting is a big part of what led you to leave.
But also, I'll put it this way, and I use this analogy every time. I'll ask people, and here's the unfortunate situation you're in. We know there are a lot of issues on the table that if we fix now, it's a lot less painful than if we fix at the tipping point. We know that. And I, you know, when people agree and they want to say, well, Congress is just upside down, I goes, here's a touch of reality, though. I ask people at town halls all the time, I goes, when'd you write your term paper? 99% of them say the night before it was due. So this is the kind of the human nature thing we gotta overcome. Everybody here wants to push it off. I don't want to deal with it. It's too difficult. It has too many political ramifications. But I say, let's solve it now. Let's set the table for the future. And you know what? The political ramifications aren't that hard to deal with. As long as you're willing to put the time in and go home and have the conversation and explain what the consequences are, explain why you voted your way. The unfortunate part is a lot of people don't want to put that time in, and that is another frustrating aspect of it.
You know, Congressman, I'd love to take the excuse of not voting away. So many people tell me that they're registered independent now, and they say, well, if I was able to vote on primary day, I'd be out there, but I'm registered independent. So I was talking with someone about 2 weeks ago, and I said, I'm going to propose at some point that we have primary day open for everybody. No excuses. Let's see who the best person is and put up the Republican and the Democrat who wins on that particular day. Would you think that would be a reasonable idea?
Well, I think that is a state issue, and I had this conversation, believe it or not, over the weekend with a couple people. And you get into situations in certain districts where you can have someone that can win a primary that can't win a general election. And if you were allowed as an independent to say, you know, I lean to the right, I would love to vote in a Republican primary and get someone that's electable, I don't think I would have a problem with that, because as we continue to go down, and I always use this story of one of the first speakers I heard in the freshman orientation down here was Vice President Cheney speaking about how every time we go through redistricting, we tend to polarize the electorate by creating safe seats. And that's kind of the road we're going down, and we do it on both sides. When you step back and look at it, if you truly had a competitive seat in every district, people would actually be forced to govern. And I think, you know, what you're talking about with primaries kind of is in a step of that direction.
Oh, that I would love to see, because that would take away a lot of the tension where people don't want to be listed as only a Democrat or only a Republican. On primary day, everyone is welcome to the poll. When you walk into that booth, you select the people that you think will best govern in your behalf.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, that's unfortunately, I mean, we could probably accomplish it much easier if we had more people turn out at the polls, especially in primary elections, but we're not there yet.
Congressman, do you think that either of the two major parties work together to prevent that competition, that ballot access? Do you think that that's something that's regularly done at all levels of government?
I haven't experienced it, you know, and I've only been in this world for less than 4 years, so I haven't been in any of those conversations. I can imagine with my experience here, there are people that think like that, and that's unfortunate because I don't think that's how our forefathers intended this place to operate. But, you know, I would definitely say something if I heard something like that going on in front of my face.
In hindsight, if you could have run as an independent, do you think you would have, or would you have run as you had both terms as a Republican?
Oh, I would have ran as a Republican. I mean, and I've always said this, you know, a label is a label. You know, that's part of the problem with this country is we're always trying to label people. We're not going out and trying to find the good in people. And I've always said this, because it's not about what letters behind my name. It's really about the clarity that I'm thinking. You know, one of the biggest problems down here is a lack of common sense and a lack of reality. And if you put common sense and reality in front of the whatever letter is behind your name, you're going to get a lot more things done. And there needs to be a lot more people down here with that type of personality.
You know, Congressman, for some years, I would say at least 20, the American people were comfortable for a long time. They'd never expected this type of recession to continue. They never expected jobs to be lost in America. And it's only now when they're experiencing gasoline prices going up, home heating, fuel, water, electric, telephone, cable, rising food costs and everything else, are they really starting to take a look and say, wait a minute, this has got to come to an end. We have to do something to help one another. We have to support the rebirth of industries in America.
Well, and that's the unfortunate part about what happens. I mean, I think it kind of goes back to, you know, it doesn't affect me until it really affects me. It's kind of human nature. It's someone else's problem till it hits my personal pocketbook. And a lot of times it goes to what I was talking to before. We see the crisis coming, but we're not willing to do anything about it until it's a major problem in my lap. And that's the unfortunate part, because, you know, in the scenario you're talking about, it creates a lot of havoc and a lot of stress and a lot of worry on a person to do that, when this thing could have been solved years ago if people were just willing to have the foresight and say, you know, we can fix this and make it, you know, stay at that comfort level and not have these bigs up and downs. Yeah, you are going to have ups and downs in an economy, in life, in relationships. It's going to happen all the time. But the more you can stay there towards the middle, the better off you're going to be.
Well, Congressman, that is very well said. I see exactly what you're saying, and that's exactly what the American people are now seeing. There's too much partisan politics, too little concern for the well-being and the future of the American people.
I tell people all the time, and you know, you try to conceptualize, you know, what our debt in this country really means. And, you know, we sit here and say $17 trillion in debt, you know, and you break that down, whatever. I said the reality of what this country is, when you want to talk about the next couple generations, the reality is we're pushing $90 trillion in unfunded liability.
That's right. That's
and
right.
People, and for some reason now that wakes people up, because that's money we just haven't borrowed yet, but by law we have to pay out. And that's just hoping that we don't get into a super inflationary period where interest on our own debt is going to be up in the high teens.
When people say there is no inflation, Michael, or inflation rate is so little, I say, well, wait a minute. Gasoline prices going up, food prices, that's all inflation. It's just how you calculate it.
And ultimately, I mean, you know, at some point, as we acquire more debt, it's like an individual. At some point, when you acquire so much debt on your credit card, no one's going to allow you to get the next credit card unless the interest rate is 37-40%. It happens the same thing as this country borrows. As our credit rating falls because we can't get a handle on our debt, they're going to continue to increase our interest rate. And as we go through cycles and we have to re-amortize debt and all of that, which means, you know, sell it off and buy it at a higher interest rate, you can never get ahead of the curve. And that goes back to what I was saying before. You can see it out there, but no one's willing to take that first bite and start to bend that curve now.
When I look at the debt clock, and it says that every American is in debt for $55,000, we have an engineer, Henry, in here. There's six people in his house. He's got four kids, a wife, and him. That means they're in over $300,000 in debt.
Mm-hmm. And I believe when I was running 4 years ago, it was only $43,000 a person.
Well, see what happens. And who knew that this would happen to us? And that's why we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. And hopefully, as you leave Congress, you will help us to be an ambassador for jobs in America. Because when you know yourself, when someone has a job, they have something to do every day, they know that they can look out for their own well-being. They'll be able to support themselves and their families. Right now, we have too many people on public assistance programs, many of them not interested to be on public assistance, but they're forced to be there because there's no jobs to send people to.
And there's many, many ways you can do that, you know, and I think one we have sitting here on the horizon, I don't know that it's going to get off the table, but I know Chairman Dave Camp has been working on tax reform, which could have huge ramifications in that world and make it a lot easier, I don't think a lot of people also realize everybody always wants to talk about massive corporations, but it's the small businesses in the world that employ 80% of the people. And making life feasible for them to actually continue to operate, not running them out of business, and, you know, doing tax reform that makes sense to them and allows the money to, you know, to stay there so they can grow their companies and actually hire people back. That's going to be that would be one of the big things. Whether that happens this Congress or not, we'll see what happens.
Congressman, where will we see you in 2 years? What's in the stars for your future?
You know, I don't know at this point. You know, I got a million things being bounced off of me. Obviously, my son is actually going to be playing football at the University of Michigan starting in 2015. So I see quite a few road trips there in the future. So what we do after that, we'll figure it out. You know, it's... I still like being around sports and doing that type of stuff, but also I'd like to get involved you know, in the business world, you know, whether it be in real estate or whatever. So we'll see what happens.
Is your son on the O line?
Yes, he is.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No, but his mother didn't help that process very much, seeing that she's barely even 5'5".
Well, Congressman, speaking of sports, and I'm in South Florida as a Jets fan, so I'm a very, very confused soul. But we've got to get your Eagles prediction for the year, non-binding.
Well, non-binding. Here's the issue. It's kind of like I was sitting around earlier today. I was going through some physical therapy, and they were talking draft, the NFL draft. And, you know, you get one team that picks above you and messes everything up. Here it's the same issue. You get one team that gets a player hurt, and it happens to be in your division. You actually win those two games instead of splitting with them, which can mean the difference in winning or not winning the playoffs. And I tell people, you know, you think about the Eagles last year and their strength of schedule. They had only won, what, 4 games a year before. Now they're winning 10 games last year. Their strength of schedule is going to be a little bit harder. You know, I think, you know, you're going to get some better play. I think most people would agree the Giants are going to play better. I'm right in that 9-10 win season right there again. So we'll have to see what happens.
Congressman, you are the very best. I would love to hear that once you get settled with your son and all, that you'd be willing to join the bandwagon to be an ambassador for jobs in America. You got the right people personality. You know how to present yourself, and you've been a great hero. The fact that you're stepping down because it's too much aggravation to be there and not see progress take place is unbelievable to me.
Well, I appreciate that. At the same light, I would hope that people from the outside just don't say, well, he's just frustrated, he's quitting. I goes, use that as an example to really explore and really think about what is happening down here. Get your curiosity going and really, you know, find out why doesn't it work. You know, I've come down here with all the tools I've been given, and, you know, being a very motivated professional athlete all my career, playing at a very high level, I want to say probably the ultimate team sport. And not being able to convey that kind of work ethic and those kind of basic principles down here, you know, there's something to be said about some of the people that are around here that don't allow this place to move.
Very well said. Very well said. It's disappointing. One of the biggest things that I like about your website is contact me if you'd like me to come out and speak to your group. I want to tell you that most of the Congress people and most of the senators, whether they're state level or national level, it's very hard to get their attention. Everything is pushed on the staff.
Well, then that's not how you do this. I mean, that's not how I do this. I mean, it's about going out and communicating and educating people. I tell people all the time, I'll give you the facts. I'll let you make your own decision. I don't have to persuade you to vote for me. I'll give you the facts, and I believe in my heart that what I'm telling you and what I believe is the right way to move forward. You may disagree. You may totally agree with it. You know, I want you to make that decision. I'm not going to tell you you have to like me or not.
Congressman, our goal on American Workers Radio is to try to get at least half of the 92 million people that are not in the workforce now in the workforce so that they can make America's economy blossom once again.
That would be an awesome thing. You'd be amazed at what this country would do.
Congressman, I would like to say thank you for joining us today. We're going to look forward to you coming and visiting us again. Rich, do you have any final questions you'd like to ask the Congressman?
Congressman, I really appreciate you coming on and showing the support for the show. I just want to echo on a final note what you've said today and what we talk about a lot. I say on our show very often that voting is not the end of our civic duty. It's where it begins. And regardless if voters, either constituents of yours or elsewhere, agree or partially disagree or partially agree with your opinions, I do want to commend you for doing it on your own. I believe that stepping down, it can potentially have an influence.
and it can get voters to think. We have more access to information anywhere else in the world, and that's one of the benefits of our electorate. But if we don't do much with it, then what really are we doing? So I do want to say that as a believer in term limits, I do applaud your decision to opt to not run again.
I appreciate that.
But Congressman, the 3rd Congressional District has been well served by you in those few years that you've been in office, and I'm hoping and praying that you will consider our proposal to help us be an ambassador for jobs in the USA, because America sure needs work.
Will do, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care.
Well, I want to thank all of you for spreading the word about our efforts here on 860 AM Radio, American Workers Radio. That was a great interview with Congressman John Runyon. We're going to have more special guests in the future. And I'd like to note that during the next few weeks, 2 of our people from Tri-State Media Network, as well as the Northeast Times, are uniting. We're going to do something special for the first weekend of June, which is going to be the first weekend of National Small Business Weekend. They're coming around to talk to our businesses. You're going to have some visits by Penny McBride, who is the representative of the Northeast Times, and Steven Smolchinski, who is the representative of Tri-State Media, and he also works in conjunction with American Workers Radio. If you see them come into your place of business, they welcome you to be part of this special edition that will be seen in the Northeast Times newspaper. It's one of the largest local newspapers in this part of the eastern Pennsylvania area, and also in the Star newspapers, which is part of the Northeast Times and Broad Street Media. So we're going to certainly do our very best to promote businesses. Rich, is there anything else you would like to say before we close off today's broadcast?
Yeah, I know that Congressman Runyon's staff, they're blasting this interview out to their email list and constituents. So, again, many thanks for his coming on and the support. And as I mentioned, Michael, in my comment, there are good arguments on both sides of this issue of term limits. And while I do agree with Congressman Runyon's sentiment that the elections ultimately are term limits, the next time we have him on, we'll have to get further into whether or not, though, something I brought up, which is the choice that voters ultimately have. And as a believer in term limits, I do want to again applaud him for opting to not run again, and for doing what he said as opposed to just talk.
Very well said. I'd like to thank Larkin Connolly, who has a very busy schedule this afternoon, for being part of our broadcast today. And I also want to say congratulations once again to Mark Andel, who is there at the National Hardware Show and is going to be receiving a special award today for his outstanding work by the Small Business Administration from Western New York. Until Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday here on 860. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's program simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com.